My dear brother priests and deacons, sisters and brothers in Christ, I want to welcome all of you to the cathedral. I imagine there are some of you here who have never been here before. How many of you have never been to the cathedral before today? You raise your hands. Okay. Why is this church called the cathedral? Yes, sir. Because it was named after a saint. No, that was a good attempt, but no, that's not the right answer. Most people don't really understand this. That's the reason I wanted to talk to you and let you know. The Greek word for chair is cathedra. And this building, this church, is called a cathedral because it has the cathedra of the bishop, this big chair. That's why this building is called a cathedral. Again, the Greek word is cathedra, and the word cathedral means the church of the bishop's chair. And the reason why a building like this, a beautiful building, is named after a chair is because the chair is symbolic of the bishop's teaching authority. You know, in the earliest days of the church, there really weren't pews. People stood during the whole Mass. And the only chair in the building was the chair the bishop sat in when he taught. And sometimes he taught for an hour. I mean, you read the sermons of St. Augustine, they go on and on and on. And St. Augustine was sitting in his chair, and all of the people were standing, and he preached for an hour, and it was a sign of his teaching authority. Now, I'm not going to preach for an hour, I assure you. I'm not even going to sit in the chair. I'm going to go to the pulpit and talk to you from there. But next time someone asks you, why do they call the mother church? This is the mother church of the diocese. You know, you each belong to parishes, but all of us who belong to all the parishes of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia have this church as our mother church. And it's the church of the bishop's chair, or the cathedral. Okay? I hope you remember that, because I think I can ask that next year and you still won't remember, because it's kind of a complicated matter. But anyway, it's time for me to move from my chair to my little preaching stand here. What is the purpose of the Scouts, Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts? Yes, sir, you come up here and help me. The Cub Scout there in blue, come up here and stand right next to me. I was a Cub Scout at one time. What is your name?
Gabriel,
I'm happy to meet you. What's the purpose of being a scout? And I'll repeat what he says, unless he can speak right into my microphone here.
The reason there are scouts are to help other people.
You all heard him? That's a very good answer, isn't it? One of the reasons for scouting is to help other people. Can you think of other reasons besides that, Gabriel, besides helping others? Does scouting help you? Does it change you?
Yes.
Does it make you a better person? Does it make you a better man?
Yes.
So scouting is to help other people. That's always important to think of others before we think of ourselves. But another very important part of scouting is that it helps you to become better men and also better Christians, right? It's supposed to change the hearts and the way of acting of those who join. You're very good, Gabriel. Thank you very much. Now, I want to talk about two things that are important for you to become good men. And they come from today's scripture readings. The first reading is difficult to understand because it comes from a time different from our own. It's about the most important king of the Jews. His name was King David. And he committed a terrible sin because he stole the wife of another man to make that woman his wife. He sinned against God, and he sinned against that other man, and of course against that other man's wife. And in today's reading, God sent a prophet to King David. Does anybody know what a prophet is? Yes, sir. What's a prophet? The Boy Scout back there. Yes.
A prophet is something that
you can't. Oh, a prophet is making money off something else. No. That's a very good American answer, isn't it? That's, yeah. To make a profit is, I mean, that's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T, right? But the prophet that I'm talking about is P-R-O-P-H-E-T, and there's a Boy Scout over there with his hand up. And what is a prophet? You have to yell it at me because I can't hear you. Stand up, please. Stand up. Someone who preaches the word of God to others. Excellent. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. And the name of this prophet was Nathan. You can sit down, but thank you. You did a great job. And Nathan came to King David and said, I want to tell you a story. There was this rich man who had a big flock of sheep, and he was living next door to another man who was very poor, and all he had was a tiny little lamb. And this rich man had someone coming for dinner. And he didn't take one of his own sheep and prepare them for dinner. He went and stole that poor little man's only sheep and cooked it for dinner for his visiting friend. And then King David, when he heard this, said, that's awful. That man should be punished. And then the prophet Nathan said, that man is you. Referring to the fact that King David, although, you know, back in those days, kings had lots of wives, but he stole another man's wife. And what did King David do when he got corrected by the prophet? Yes, sir. He stood up for himself. Nope. He did just the opposite. He said, I'm sorry, I've sinned against God and against others. And today's reading tells us that he began to do penance to make up for his sin. Now, I said that scouting is to help you be better men, right? And one of the signs of being a really good man is the ability to say, I'm wrong, when you're wrong. And the ability to say, I'm sorry, when you've hurt other people. And the ability to ask God's forgiveness when you sin. Now, sometimes we men are proud and arrogant, right? We don't want to ever admit we do anything wrong, and we don't want to ever tell somebody we're sorry. But the sign of being a real man is the ability to admit your faults and ask forgiveness of God and others. So if you guys want to be good men, scouting should teach you to be humble and to admit it when you're wrong and to ask forgiveness of God and others. Okay? First lesson. Second lesson comes from today's gospel reading. Who wants to help me with today's gospel reading? How about an Eagle Scout? Are there any Eagle Scouts here that want to come up here and help me? Come on up here, Eagle. He can jump over the pews, too. He's a pretty good athlete. If I did that, I'd fall on my face. It's good to see you again. I know you from before. Hi, Nick. How are you? Nick, what's your family name?
Osmond.
Nick Osmond. Okay, Nick. I don't know if you were listening to today's gospel. Sometimes it's hard to pay attention, so I'm going to tell the story again, okay? Jesus has been preaching, and he gets in the boat. It's late at night, and the boat begins to go across the Sea of Galilee. And we're told a big storm comes up. Do you remember what happened?
Jesus was asleep.
Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. That's what Nick told me. And what did the people in the boat do when they saw Jesus was sleeping? They try to wake him up because they were scared because
the storm
was there, and it says the boat was filling with water. And what did Jesus say when he woke up?
Be not afraid.
Do not be afraid. And he said something else that's really important. Don't you have faith yet? You know. And this leads us to the next lesson I want to talk to you about. Real men are sometimes afraid. I mean, in the fact that you're a man doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid. But what real men do when they are afraid is they turn to God, in this particular place, Jesus, and they come to believe, have faith, that Jesus will see them through the storm. Now, most of you guys are going to be fathers of families and husbands to wives, and your children and your wife are going to look up to you and want you to bring them to safety when there's difficulties in the family, like someone's sick or someone loses a job, or just bad things are going on in circumstances of their life, and they expect the man of the family to have courage. But the only way you're going to have courage, if you're honest, is to turn to God and ask for his help, because men get afraid like anybody else. And the only sure confidence we can have is that God will be with us, helping us through our difficulties. Now, how old are you now, Nick?
18.
18. Are you a senior in high school?
Yes.
So you're graduating soon. Are you scared about the future?
A little bit.
Do you know where you're going to college?
I have two options.
I have to have you just speak into my mouth.
Either Citadel, South Carolina, or Virginia Tech.
Okay, that's really great. Are you scared a little bit about the future?
Yeah.
there. He's an honest man. He said he was scared. So who are you going to trust to take care of you?
Jesus and God.
You bet. And I really hope you have great confidence. You'll be greatly successful. You're a good man and a good scout. And I'm really proud of all of you scouts, but especially of those who become Eagle Scouts. That's a special, special, very special thing. So thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
God bless you. Wasn't he good? We have a lot of awards up here on the table that we're going to give after Mass, which mark different steps that you've made on the way to being good Scouts, good Cub Scouts and good Boy Scouts. And I'm going to bless them. But the most important thing is not that you get an award. The most important thing is you become good men. And good men are people who are not afraid to say they make a mistake, who ask forgiveness, and who, when they're afraid, turn to God for assistance. And I hope our time together teaches all of us, not just you, but your parents, your moms and dads, the scout leaders, all the priests here and myself, teach us that we need to depend on the Lord and ask forgiveness if we're going to be good men in the service of our families and our church these days. So congratulations, and I'm happy you're all here today.